Likutei Sichais Chelek Yud Zayin, Parshas Shmini Sicha Aleph. The word Shmini, which is the name of this week's Parsha, means eighth. And while the actual subject matter may refer to the eighth day that follows the 7 days of the dedication of the Mishkan of the previous Parsha, the Parsha is called simply eighth. Eighth delineates and narrates the essential purpose of the seven that precede it, which the Rebbe illuminates through Chassidus as the eighth day that follows the 7 days of creation, arriving at and revealing the transcendent divine. That ultimate revelation will be experienced as revealed godliness, bipshitus, experienced with utter simplicity, in the manner in which we experience the natural order of the world, the 7-day order of nature in exile. The Rebbe begins with an oft-mentioned thought regarding the names of the 53 parshiyos, portions of Torah, each portion comprised of several individual chapters, yet each Torah portion inherently focused on a shared theme, and the holy names of the Torah portion which instruct us to that common central theme. Despite a seeming disparity seen frequently between the opening theme of a parsha and its continuation or conclusion, the Torah portion is bound by this central theme and is more connected to the Torah portion which carries the name than to the portion which precedes it, to which it connects fluidly. This is so in our parsha, the beginning of which states, Vayehi b'yom hashmini, and it was on the eighth day, which connects intrinsically with the previous parsha and the Torah's instruction regarding the 7 days of the induction of Aaron and his sons to their service in the tabernacle, and seemingly has no connection to the laws we are instructed in the sixth Torah reading of Shmini regarding the animals which we may consume and those which we may not. But for the name Shmini, which in fact binds these two ideas in a joint theme and lesson. Now this simple, almost stark term Shmini, eighth, not eighth day or eighth day of induction, tells us that this parsha is associated to the 7 days, or particularly to the 7 days of induction that preceded, only as a nekuda mishutefet, a common point, but is profoundly connected to that which in our parsha will seem almost unassociated. The name Shmini, divested of any words binding it to the previous parsha, like Bayoim Hashmini, on the eighth day, speaks to a thematic connection to the discussion of the animals we may not eat, and the beginning of the Torah portion of on the eighth day. The expression Shmini eighth has two pointedly different meanings. On one hand, Shmini eighth points to an individual separate self-standing number, the number 7 denoting nature and the imminent godliness within nature, and as the Kli Yakar explains, 8 is unique to transcendent divine. On the other hand, Shmini, eighth, by its nature and translation, must mean eighth to something, and thus has an inherent connection to sevens. Shmini then has a unique character. It represents the state of wholeness of divine revelation and completion of divine purpose, where transcendent godly light becomes revealed in this world, when revelation that is beyond the natural order of 7 becomes the 8th to the 7, an experience of divine revelation within creation. A wondrous and unique discussion of a particular 8th brings this idea into sharp relief. The harp of redemption described in Maseches Erechin, in the Talmudic discussion of the service of the Levim with instruments and song, is described by Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the harp of redemption will have 8 strings. The significance of this additional string to the 7-stringed harp used in the first and second temple services represents V'negala K'vod Hashem V'ra'u Kol Bosar, God's glorious presence revealed when all flesh will see. What this means is that despite the fact that God's glory is beyond the experience of limitation and nature, it will be revealed so that all flesh will see. The constrictions and contractions that conceal the divine glory will not conceal it from the eyes of humans, and we will be able to see God's divine glory in a tangible and concrete way, the way we are accustomed with absolute simplicity to seeing our limited physical reality. And we won't experience this vision as something new or novel or unusual. The idea of seeing godliness in this way is significant in that, were God to reveal his divine glory by descending, so to speak, below, thus making it possible for the human being to see the divine, this experience would be a limited one. It would be a chidush, a novelty. Even if one's ability to see this was in a truly concrete way, it would remain a chidush and not an experience that exhibits as the nature of man. Only experiencing Hashem's divine glory in an absolute state of common simplicity defines this experience of redemption and the days of Mashiach. This too defines the connection of the number 8, or the 8th, with redemption. The revelation of V'negala K'vod Hashem V'ra'u Kol Bosar, of God's divine glory revealed to all flesh, expresses the two disparate aspects of Shemayna. 8. God's glory is indeed beyond creation, and the number 7 that denotes nature. And yet God's glory will be revealed in the world, which by its name bespeaks the concealment of godliness in a way that will be common to the natural order. Here 8 will merge with 7. The world, as it is though, as it conceals godliness, is by nature a place of concealment. Concealment and hiddenness reflect what the makeup of the world is in essence. The word for world, Olam, names and identifies the essence of the world itself. How then can we understand this transformation from a world of one that conceals our ability to see godliness to a world when all flesh will see in a way that seems to defy the nature of the human experience and of the world, Olam, and the way God created it? The Alter Rebbe teaches in Perek Lamed Vav in Tanya that this revelation of Or Ein Sof, unlimited divine light in our world, in the time of redemption, in the days of Mashiach, and in the era of resurrection of souls, is dependent, tolui b'ma'aseinu v'avodoseinu, kol zman meshach ha'golus, is dependent upon our actions and on our divine service throughout the entirety of exile. What exactly does kol zman meshach ha'golus, throughout the entire time of exile, connote? There is some sort of emphasis here that needs exploring. And the answer is that this is a reference to mitzvahs and the unique quality of mitzvahs. A mitzvah, says the Alter Rebbe, draws down into this world a revelation of Or Ein Sof, to become enclosed in the features of the natural world. And so for the divine glory to be seen and experienced in the world in a natural way and not as some alteration to this world, it must already be, so to speak, of this world. And that happens through a mitzvah, an action that draws godliness into this world and transforms world. Beyond that, though, the world was created to conceal the divinity, and it was also and primarily created to absorb Torah and mitzvahs, the revelations that result. And so throughout exile, only our constant efforts and our actions, our mitzvahs, are preparing the world, Olam, which would by nature negate revelation, for the revelation of Mashiach. The unique ingredient that makes this transformation possible is the Mesiras Nefesh of a Jew. Chassidus teaches that the power of Mesiras Nefesh is more obvious when we are bereft of the Batei Migdash than in the time that the temples stood. That the darkness of exile actually motivates a Jew's power of self-sacrifice. How is it possible for darkness and concealment of godliness to somehow empower and even motivate this incredible avodah? Physically, we see that the power of one's will is so strong that it controls the movements of even the heels of our feet more than our seichel, our thinking, does. But how is this? Why did God create a structure within nature like this? Chassidus explains this as indication of the awesomeness of our potential. There's an inherent connection between our world and the essence of God, a place of concealment and a place of total absolute revelation. A Jew, no matter his spiritual level, possesses thus a connection to essence, soul essence, divine essence, the source of Mesiras Nefesh, making this expression of Avodas Hashem possible. And the very world itself was created to become a dwelling place for God, Adira Lo Yisbarach, particularly B'tachtonim, in the lowest of all places. Hence, creation incorporates this quest within its very structure and nature. The utter concealment serves to bring about thus the added intensity of a Yisrin Ha'ar Min HaChayshach, an advantage to light that comes from within darkness. And so within a state of helem, concealment, darkness, we work avidly and constantly at drawing light down into the very physical world that naturally defies light, but inherently absorbs it. And we do this in exile, in a state of constant self-sacrifice, connecting to source and transforming the way darkness gives way into a source of light, returning the natural order of concealment to its origin of revelation. Now we can return to our discussion, read the name of the Parsha, and its connection to the mitzvah of Zeis HaChaya. These are the animals that you may and may not eat. This is the animal that you can consume. Rather than its seeming fluid connection to the previous portion of Tzav. In the 7 days of dedication discussed in the previous Parsha, the Kohanim did all they could as beings in this world, of this world, bringing godliness down through their actions, their Aveda, and their service within the confines of seven, of nature's number. And everything they did was simply a preparation for the divine presence to actually manifest in the tabernacle, in the Mishkan, in an eighth day revelation. We require the effort and work of Zeis HaChaya. It's this animal that you can or cannot consume, discussed in Parshas Shmini. Zeis HaChaya speaks of the non-kosher beasts and animals, the prohibition against consuming these animals, and even the ritual impurity that occurs in coming in contact with the carcass of such an animal. We are taught distinction and separation. This distinction and separation is brought home to us in the teaching that one should not say, "Efshi bebasar chazir, I can't stand pork." Rather, one should say, "Efshi, I can stand pork. But what should I do? I can't eat it because God has forbidden it." This statement of separation and distinction brings refinement to the world in its entirety, even to unclean animals. Zeis HaChaya, this is the animal, now takes on new meaning, says the Medrash. This animal too, unclean and inedible to the Jew, is refined in the mitzvah of distinction and separation. This refinement will only be available to us with a revelation of divine light in future redemption. And this distinction reflects God's will and desire for the world, revealing a Jew's fulfillment and revelation of this desire. And this brings us to Shmini, to the eighth, the revelation of godliness higher than world, revealed in a state of seven, seven becoming eight. Accordingly, we can understand an interesting Medrash that says that when Hashem gave this mitzvah, v'zois hachaya, Moshe ra'a es hamalchiyos b'isukon. Moshe saw the activities of the Gentile kings. The Medrash Vayikra Rabbah explains that the revelation brought into this world through the mitzvah of zois hachaya, separating and creating distinction, is the work of exile in regards to the darkness and concealment of every individual exile under each individual nation. This is the revelation required in the future redemption, the era of the harp of eight strings. It is then that we will merit the prophecy, ve'es hachazir zu edoim, ve'loma nikra shmo chazir, shemechazera satara l'ba'aleha. Edoim is called a pig. Why chazir? Because a pig, lachzor, return, from the word return, will ultimately become kosher, which is like the idea of mechazera satara l'ba'aleha, returning the crown to its owner, returning the physicality, and beyond that, the separation and distinction made during exile to a state of revelation, when we will experience Va'olu Mashiach Bahar Tzion Lishpat Es Har Esav. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esav, Esav who is Edom. V'hoysa LaHashem Hamlucha. And sovereignty will finally be God's and revealed as God's sovereignty.